From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Republican Mike Dunleavy has been sworn in as Alaska's new governor.
I'm Michael J. Dunleavy.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm
that I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend
the Constitution of the United States of America.
The Constitution of the United States of America.
And the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
And the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
And that I will faithfully discharge my duties.
And that I will faithfully discharge my duties.
As governor for the state of Alaska.
As governor for the state of Alaska.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
Dunleavy took the oath of office shortly before noon today in the western city of Kotzebue after a topsy-turvy day that saw poor visibility derail Dunleavy's plans to fly into the village of Norvik for his swearing-in. Dunleavy's wife, Rose, is from Norvik. He had initially planned to ride to Norvik from Kotzebue by snow machine, but those plans were changed so Dunleavy could focus time on earthquake recovery efforts. A magnitude 7.0 earthquake rocked Anchorage and other parts of south-central Alaska on Friday. Dunleavy succeeds Governor Bill Walker, an independent who dropped his reelection bid in October. Dunleavy defeated Democratic former U.S. Senator Mark Begich in last month's election. As Governor Mike Dunleavy was sworn into office today, the transition of power was also taking place online. The Alaska Office of Information Technology is going through the process of updating the state website and editing pages with the former governor's name. That means websites you could access last week may not be available now. For example, the page with the state's new climate change policy is offline. Jeff Turner, Dunleavy's deputy communication director, says he doesn't know if the site will be restored. The administration is still discussing if the page will go back up. Governor Bill Walker appointed a team in December of last year to draft the policy, which they completed in August. But team members said that wasn't the end of the process. Now the state must figure out how to implement the strategies in the document. During his campaign, Dunleavy told KTOO that the state has more important issues to deal with. A handful of air traffic controllers rode out Friday's 7.0 earthquake from their 12-story platform above Ted Stevens International Airport in Anchorage. In a dramatic moment, they had to abort an imminent landing by a FedEx jet until the runway could be inspected for cracks. You can hear the controller telling the pilot to go around in this recording from liveatc.com.
FedEx, go around! FedEx, go around! FedEx 49 heavy, go around.
Going around, FedEx 49.
After the quake, the controllers had to evacuate the tower. Alaska Public Media's Nat Herz reports on what happened next.
To get up the Anchorage Airport's control tower, you first have to ride an elevator up 10 stories. From there, a spiral staircase leads to the top. Normally, this is a pretty sweet spot to work. Clint Blazak is a supervisor in the tower, and he points out some of the stuff you can see from his office, a platform with windows on all sides.
So downtown, McKinley's out that way. Sleeping ladies over there. We got the best office in town right here.
At least, it might be on a normal day. Now imagine it's Friday morning and there's a 7.0 earthquake happening. And as Blazak puts it,
I mean, you're on top of 150-foot toothpick, so.
In the huge 1964 earthquake, the tower actually collapsed and one person died. This time around, Blazak says it swayed about 3 or 4 feet back and forth. He and his colleagues watched as transformers blew out around town. After the shaking stopped, the tower was evacuated. Blazak took the stairs all the way down, carrying a pair of radios, and headed to the controller's backup site at the airport fire station. But Blazak says,
we got over there and they said, no, you can't come in here because of the possible structural damage. So we improvised real quick and hopped in an airport vehicle and went out on the field and guided aircraft in from a truck.
How do you do that?
Most of our equipment is windows. So we had a window in the truck and a radio.
You heard that right. For about an hour, Blazak says, the tower at the Anchorage Airport, which is the world's fifth busiest for cargo, was relocated to a pickup truck at the end of the north-south runway. He stresses that they were still supported by dozens of other Federal Aviation Administration workers at other locations. This isn't totally unprecedented. Controllers sometimes operate from trucks or tents or trailers during emergencies or in the military. Doing the job well demands a certain amount of improvisation, says Sherry LaRue, Associate Professor of Aviation Technology at University of Alaska, Anchorage.
Obviously, there's rules and you're supposed to follow them, so you would never say you're supposed to be super creative, but not everything is covered by a rule. Now, it's an extraordinary situation, I give him a lot of credit.
If the controllers hadn't been able to set up from the truck, it probably wouldn't have been an immediate safety risk to planes and passengers. But it could have created a logistical nightmare for airport operations, LaRue says. Without controllers, pilots can, and did, use a system called CTAF, where they announce their own positions and movements. But that's far less efficient than instructions from the airport tower. Even with the controller's heroics, the airport's operations, including its three runways, were closed briefly after the earthquake. But Jim Sesniak, the airport manager, says inspectors drove out and did a safety check on them in about 8 minutes, allowing planes to start landing again. Passenger traffic did get somewhat snarled, largely because of damage inside the airport terminal. But Sesniak says cargo traffic was barely affected.
I was in the terminal dealing with the terminal stuff, but you can look out the windows there. And if I looked out the windows, it was like nothing happened as far as the air traffic was concerned, because they were continuing to land and depart and land and depart just like they would normally.
In the aftermath of the earthquake, Blazak says the controllers are reassessing their backup plans, given that their original plan B, the fire station, turned out to be inaccessible. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
If your home sustained damage in the earthquake, you're probably wondering about insurance. State official estimated that fewer than 20% of Alaska homeowners have earthquake insurance. But Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports you may still have options.
Homeowners insurance doesn't usually cover earthquake damage, but standard policies often extend to events that immediately follow an earthquake. Like if a pipe broke and flooded your home. Division of Insurance Director Lori Wing-Heyer says homeowners should make a report to their insurance companies and see what they say.
The broken pipe itself would not be covered because that was part of the quake, but perhaps the water damage from the pipe will be covered.
Wing-Heyer also suggests checking on rental properties and storage units. And Wing-Heyer says, don't forget about your car insurance.
If you have your auto parked in the garage and your auto is hurt, it's damaged because a bookshelf or whatever falls over on it, well, that auto policy might respond.
For uninsured losses, the state may be able to help you. The governor's disaster declaration frees up money for individual assistance.
That was Liz Ruskin reporting from Alaska Public Media. The University of Alaska Southeast is one of the 10 best schools in the U.S. to study marine biology. That's according to College Magazine, which last month named UAS number 8 in its roundup of top marine science programs.
We're very proud of our program, and we know that we offer students an extraordinary opportunity during their 4 years here at UAS.
That's Sherry Timoney, a professor of marine biology at UAS and chair of the Natural Sciences Department. She says a major strength of the program is its small size. That gives students the chance to work with professors in the lab and field. The field, in this case, is Alaska's Inside Passage.
And our students can go right to the ocean and study the nearshore biology and marine mammals.
Timoney says 5 faculty at UAS are actively engaged in research in the region. Students can help them study things like salmon migration and commercially important shrimp and crabs.
So our students are really engaged in research that applies to Alaska.
And she says they're good at landing jobs. Students have gone on to work for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. UAS students can earn undergraduate degrees in both marine biology and fisheries. According to Timoney, around 55 students are currently working toward marine biology degrees. The Juneau Assembly is now accepting applications for a short-term replacement for Assemblymember Jesse Keel's soon-to-be-vacant District 1 seat. Keel won the November election to replace Senator Dennis Egan in the Alaska State Senate. That means he'll resign his seat on the Assembly before taking office in January. Keel was reelected to a third term last year. Whoever is chosen to replace him will serve until next October's municipal election, when the seat will be placed on the ballot. That person will then finish out Keel's terms. Information about applying can be found on the city's website. Quick look at weather tonight. 40% chance of snow, mainly before 3 a.m. It's 32 degrees at Juneau International Airport.